message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Hallelujah. Please, before we have our seats, come and look to your right, your left, back and front, and tell your neighbor Happy Boxing Day. And please, we can have our wonderful seat. Hallelujah. I'm sure we had a lot of boxes to open today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to start by appreciating God for this great privilege He has given unto me to stand before great men and women of God. I also want to appreciate the grace of God upon the man of God, Papa. Hallelujah. Maybe you guys didn't hear what I said. I said I want to appreciate the grace of God upon Papa. Hallelujah. And I hope to tap into that grace tonight in Jesus' name. And like I used to say, behind every great man, there's an Ubonge woman. Also, come on, let's give a round of applause for Mama in the house. I also pray to tap into that grace and anointing tonight in Jesus' name. I also appreciate every pastor in the house, Pastor Moshebi, Pastor Beniza, and Pastor Jala, and every minister in the house, and everyone present here. I appreciate you all in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Tonight, we'll be looking at a topic titled Overcoming the Hindrances to Joyful Praise. Overcoming the hindrances to joyful praise. Overcoming the hindrances to joyful praise. Thus far, we're looking at joy. We looked at pathways to joy. And we also looked at the blessings of a joyful life. And today, we're looking at overcoming the hindrances to a joyful praise. Hallelujah. Now God has a plan of joy and gladness for you always. That is, God's plan for everyone is a plan of joy and gladness always. You are not designed for sadness or sorrow in life and destiny. The only person that has a plan of sorrow for you and I is the devil. Because if even look at it logically, what has God has to gain for you not being joyful? God has nothing to gain. The only person that stands to gain from your not being joyful is the devil. We can turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11. Now, say, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, you know, that was Paul writing to the people of Corinthians. I know he was telling them that they should not allow grief to come amidst them. I know he was telling them that lest Satan should not get an advantage over us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Because Paul was aware that one of devil's devices is to what? Is to snatch the joy from people. And once he snatches the joy, then what happens? Bad things begin to happen. So he was telling them that they should be careful and they should avoid allowing the devil to snatch their joy. Because they are already aware. For we are not ignorant of his devices. We are not ignorant of his devices. That is, he knows the devices. And he was telling them, please avoid this. You know, once you have knowledge, you should be able to avoid some things. Some people are perishing because of what? Lack of knowledge. But Paul is telling them, you have knowledge. This guy, this is device. So you need to what? Work against it. I know, once you have wisdom, there are so many things that you don't get cheaply. Once there is wisdom, there are so many things that you get what? Cheaply. You know, in my place, they say that when a child does not have wisdom, and some people are saying, thank God, even if nobody has wisdom, at least he's alive. He doesn't have wisdom, but he's alive. And they say, you are saying he's alive, he doesn't have wisdom. He said, what can kill more than that lack of wisdom? So it means that being alive without wisdom is as good as being dead. So it means that you need wisdom in every facet of life. There's no way that you don't need wisdom. I can see Paul applying wisdom there. You know the devil wants to get this thing, then you try not to give it to him. But when you know the devil wants to take your joy, you now willingly give him your joy. Devil, take my joy. It means it's a sign of foolishness. It means you are not exhibiting wisdom. You know the devil wants your joy and you give him your joy. It is not wisdom. Hallelujah. Praise God. As we have seen, the only person that wants you, that has a plan of sorrow for you, is the devil. Now, there are some things we must protect ourselves from if we want to enjoy joy. And they are called the hindrances to joy. There are some things that we need to prevent ourselves from. Because if we attach ourselves to these things, they would hinder us from accessing joy. Hallelujah. So we have hindrances to joy. And number one is negative reports. Negative reports. Number one hindrance to joy is negative reports. The world is filled with bad news. The world is filled with bad news. In fact, it's commonly said that there's no news like bad news. And that is very true. In fact, many of us here, if you go and buy a newspaper, and there are two different newspapers with different headlines. One wrote, breaking news. 15 million people died in an atomic bomb explosion. That's the headline. The other one reads, 500 people got married in one day. Please, which part will you buy? Most people will go for that one that, 15 million people died. Let me check. Let me see details. That's the truth. The only way a paper will sell if it has good news, that news must be a very, very good news. Maybe for instance, you see breaking news. Federal government sets minimum wage to be 150,000 naira. You see, maybe if it's that kind of good news, then you might be attracted. But most of the times, people are attracted to what? Bad news. In fact, there's no bad news, you might not buy a paper. And that is why these news agencies, they are so wise. They put the bad news in front to market them. So when they say, this is bad news, I want to buy this paper. Why? Because all around us is bad report, bad report, bad report. And we are so accustomed ourselves to this world that we are so enjoying that bad report. When we see a bad report, we want to get, I must read what is there. But when we see a good news, we overlook it. Hallelujah. So negative report, the world is filled with what? Bad news. Now, even though you may not be able to stop negative news from flying around, you can stop it from entering your heart. That's very true. You might not be able to stop the negative news going about, but you alone will determine how that news affects you. There might be negative news all around you, but you determine how that news will affect you. You determine if that news will take away your joy, or if that news will only pass by and won't go into your heart to what? To affect you. Hallelujah. Now, what then should we do with negative reports? You know, you said we can't avoid it. They're always around. So when they come, what should we do with them? Number one is cast them down. Cast them down and out immediately. That is, don't give time to think about it. As they are coming, you cast them down and out immediately. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5. 2 Corinthians. Now, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Casting down all what? Imaginations. That is, you don't give it time to ponder over it. Let me think about it. No. You cast it out immediately. Hallelujah. And number B, that's 1B. What to do with negative reports is fill your mind with positive thoughts. Fill your mind with positive thoughts. Philippians 4 verse 8 told us some of all these thoughts that we have to fill our minds with. Philippians 4 verse 8. Philippians 4 verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, are lovely, are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. Hallelujah. Now, your thoughts should not be the one controlling you. You should be the one controlling your thoughts. That is, your thoughts should be under your control, not your thoughts being over control of you. Hallelujah. So we have to watch what comes into our hearts. And we should avoid what negative what reports. Remember the story of the 12 spies. You know, two of them, they had a good thing in their mind, but the other 10 had negative reports. That, no, these people, they are too big, they are gigantic, they are going to destroy us, we dare not go there. Now, I'm very sure before they went back to give that report, they must have met themselves and say, we can't go back and tell that this land is a good land, though. These people are too big. But despite those negative reports, it didn't affect them. When they got there and they were given that same report, they said, no, let us go immediately. They were not disturbed by the what? Negative reports around them. Hallelujah. So as Christians, though we might not stop these negative reports, but we have to determine what are the effects of these negative reports in our lives. Hallelujah. So the first hindrance is negative reports. Now number two, the second hindrance to our joy is fear. Fear. Now fear is an acronym and it means false experiences appearing real. False experiences appearing real. Now fear doesn't really exist. I'm very sure many of us when we were kids, we know what they call ojuju. And when we're so small, they'll tell you, don't go there, there's ojuju. Then you begin to shake, ojuju, ojuju. And once they mistakenly off the light like this, and you're alone in the room, there's trouble. You begin to look, where's mommy? Then at least stay beside mommy, or you stay beside daddy. But, you know, as you begin to grow up, you now begin to wonder, where is that ojuju that I was even fearing? And then you wonder, there's really no ojuju. There was no ojuju. So it means that fear is already there. The devil just put it there to make you afraid. In fact, let me tell you, fear is the devil's food. If you are not afraid, the devil is powerless. But once you are afraid, the more afraid you are, the more the devil gets power. So it means the devil is feeding on your power. As you are getting afraid, the devil says yes. He's getting. By the time he comes closer again, he shows fear. He wants to cover ground. So it means that as Christians, we should try everything possible to cast out fear from our life. Because once we begin to allow fear to come in, then the devil will have his way into our lives. Now, fear is one of the hindrances to joy. Fear is the exact opposite of faith. Dwelling on negative reports will always breed fear. And fear is one thing that does what? Empowers the enemy. Fear empowers the enemy. We can turn our Bibles to Job 3 verse 25. Job chapter 3 verse 25. Job 3 verse 25. Now, for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me. So which means that most likely if he had not feared, it wouldn't have come upon him. But because he was afraid, my this, my that. And that is why all those things came upon him. The thing which I greatly feared. So it means it was that fear that gave the enemy power. So it means as Christians, we should cast out every fear. Now, fear not, appears 365 times in the Bible. Fear not. That is, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. It appears 365 times in the Bible. So it means that you are not permitted to even fear. Because you have one fear not per day. And if at all you must fear, it means you can only fear once in 4 years. And that is a leap year. That's the only day you can fear. Because there's one fear not for every single day. So it means as Christians, you are not even permitted to even fear at all. And that's why we say, fear not, fear not, fear not. As Christians, we are not meant to be afraid at all. Because fear is a virus in us. Because God said he has not given us the spirit of fear. So it means that fear is not supposed to be inside of us. And anytime we begin to feel that fear, we are meant to what? Cast it out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now he said that it empowers the enemy and gives the enemy confidence. Once you are afraid, it gives the enemy confidence. And that is very true. You know, if you want to fight somebody and you know the person is afraid, you have more confidence to fight the person. And that's very true. You know, if you are coming with your Manoe, and you are doing Manoe, you know you'll be afraid that this one is strong. But you are saying Manoe, you say Joe, you beat the person. Because the person has shown sign of fear, then you begin to counter on that fear. Yes, this person is afraid. You give him one punch, he's saying joy, joy, joy again. You give him another punch. Until you beat the person black and blue, the person is bleeding, he's just saying joy, joy, joy. So as Christians, we are not permitted to be fearful. Hallelujah. And this is one of the key ways by which the devil snatches our joy. He puts that fear in us so that he'll be empowered. And once he's empowered, he has license to what? Snatch our joy. So as Christians, we are meant to cast out every spirit of fear in us. And that's the second hindrance to our joy. And number three, the third hindrance to our joy is murmuring and complaining. Murmuring and complaining. Murmuring and complaining. Now, excessive dwelling on negative situations breed murmuring and complaining. Excessive dwelling on negative situations breeds murmuring and complaining. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 10. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 10. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed. So this means that murmuring brings about destruction. And there's no boy that will pass through destruction that will be joyful. Yes, I'm being destroyed and I'm joyful. So it means that once you begin to murmur, you're already giving the enemy license to take your joy away. That is free license. Now, those who murmured among the Israelites perished in the wilderness. Why? Because they were murmuring. Complaining always complicates the situation. Numbers 14, verse 27 to 29. Numbers chapter 14, verse 27 to 29. Numbers 14. How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard murmuring of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Verse 28. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Verse 29. Your carcass shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your own number from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. So can you see they were destroyed? Why? Because they were murmuring and they were complaining. They were murmuring and they were complaining. Now, when you fail to remember your past victories, you complain. You know, if you begin to remember what God has done for you, there won't be need for complaining. And you know, these same Israelites, they spent over 400 years in captivity. And God brought them out. I thought what they should have done is that they say, we have been in captivity for over 400 years. Let us spend the next 400 years of our life to be thanking God. Whether I give us anything or not, let us be thanking God. But they are still complaining again. People that were in captive, and yet you were rescued. It's always, God, I thank you. Even though I'm thanking you for the next 400 years, it's not enough. Yet they were still complaining. So it means they are not seeing what God has done. It's what God has done that they are seeing. God did a lot for them. It's like saying somebody has been sick for 400 years. Then the person got healed of that sickness. Then the person complained, yes, I'm healed, but won't I eat? You want to give me food to eat? Won't you give me good water to drink? You know, that is absurd. You're going to be thanking, I thank you. Don't even give me food. I don't need food. You should not be thanking the person because the person has done so much for you. I know at times this is what hinders many Christians' joy. We're always murmuring. We fail to see what God has done. And whereas what he has done is like 1 billion. And what he has not done is like 1. So you can imagine the ratio, 1 billion to 1. And even that one he has not done, there's a reason why he has not done it. So why are you now complaining and murmuring? When he has done so much, there are so many things that you could thank him for, that even if you are thanking him from now till you die, it's still not enough. So how come you still have the time to be murmuring and complaining? God, you have not done this. You have not done that. Even when if you are thanking him, God, I thank you for this. I thank you for that. The time is still not enough. So as Christians, we should try to avoid murmuring and complaining. I know the funny thing about murmuring and complaining. It doesn't solve anything. You complain from now to next year. It doesn't bring about any solution. You murmur from now to tomorrow. It will bring about any solution. We can open our Bibles to Matthew 6 verse 27. Matthew 6, verse 27. Matthew chapter 6, verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add 1 cubit unto his stature? The root of you by complaining, by murmuring, why are you sitting like this, can increase in size or can it add value to you. So it means murmuring and complaining adds value to nobody. It doesn't solve any problem. Instead, it adds to the problem. And the time you are supposed to use to be thinking about the solution, you are thinking about murmuring and complaining. So it means that when you murmur and complain, it's to your own detriment. So it means as Christians, we should try to avoid as much as possible murmuring and complaining. Hallelujah. And that's the third point, murmuring and complaining. And number four is discontentment. Number four, hindrance to a joy. Joyful praise is discontentment. Discontentment. To a joyless person, nothing God does is worthy of appreciation or gratitude. A discontented person can never be joyful because there will always be a void to fill. He can never be content because there will always be a void. Once maybe he has a brand new car, 2018 model. Once he sees 2019 model, he won't like 18 model. That's what I want. You give him 19 model. Once 2020 model comes out, is that one I want. So there will always be a void. In fact, it's like a black hole. You know, in science, there's what they call a black hole. Now, a black hole, anything you put inside a black hole, it will absorb it. It keeps on absorbing until there's nothing to absorb again. That's the only time it doesn't absorb. As long as there's something to absorb, it will be absorbing. Yes, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. It wants everything. So a discontent person will never ever be happy. Will never be joyful. Because there will always be a void to fill. When you put something to fill that void, it becomes empty again because something else needs to fill that void again. So one of the ways by which we lose our joy or by which we lose our joyful praise is being discontented. Now the truth of life is that blessings of God comes to us in phases. And God expects us to be grateful for each phase of life. Now when we do this, we are already setting in motion the next phase. Now God's blessings are in what? Are in phases. Now, when God does the first phase, you are supposed to thank Him for that phase so that you begin to set the next phase in motion. Not to be discontented and say, what has God even done? That, yes, He has done this here, but I want this one. No. We should be what? Contented. Hallelujah. Discontentment leads to murmuring. When you are not satisfied, you begin to what? Murmur. Discontent leads to what? Murmuring. And discontentment steals your joy. And contentment enhances your joy. 1 Timothy 6 verse 6. 1 Timothy 6 verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. So that means godliness without contentment. So it's not about being godly. Once you are not content, there's no gain. Because once you are not even content, there's no way you will commit sin. Because you will not be grateful. Anything they give to you, say, no, God, yes, I don't want this, I want this. You won't be grateful. And you will not be able to show appreciation to God for what He has done. Hallelujah. So we should try as much as possible to be content. And number five, the fifth key that steals away our joy. Our joyful praise is comparison. Comparison. Now, comparison steals joy always. Comparison always steals joy. Now, the truth is that you are unique and one of a kind. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12. You are unique and one of a kind. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. That is, they are foolish. I want to use the Yoruba. We know Yoruba. Yoruba words are very, very interesting. Say, one go. I mean, there's a way Yoruba sounds. It's still they are foolish, but when Yoruba makes it sound, it looks very interesting. One go. That is when you are trying to Compare yourself. What that means, it means the person is a foolish person. Now, comparing yourself with others can bring about dissatisfaction, which leads to anxiety. This is why comparison is a game of fools. Which is why comparison is a game of what? Of fools. And that's the truth. Once you begin to compare yourself with other people, you gradually steal away your joy. Because you begin to see what this person have that you don't have. Then you say, I want this person things. I want this. This person has it. I don't have this. God, but why? Should be this person has this thing. Is this person this than me? Is this person this than me? Me too. I want this. So as Christians, we try to avoid comparison. You know, and most of the time, those people are even trying to compare yourself with. They are even looking up to you, but you don't know. They are looking up to you and trying to say, this person has this, and I don't have this. Those people are comparing. So if we were to live their lives and see what they are going through, you'll be happier with where you are. Than compare yourself, I want this, what this person have, I want it. What this person have, I want it. Recently, I watched a movie, it was a comedy. I know a dad, his wife left him with a child. And the child was so happy with the dad, dad, you are the best dad in the world. And the daughter was always telling the stepdad, stepdad, my dad is the best dad in the world. I know the real dad was not trying to prove to the stepdad that, yes, I'm the best dad in the world. But the dad didn't know that the daughter already believes that he's the best dad. So the stepdad was trying to prove to the dad that he also is the best dad. And the stepdad was doing all he could do. And the dad was also trying to compete with the stepdad. But the stepdad, or the real dad, was trying his best, but everything he did was failing. He tried to pattern for the girl, the thing didn't work out. He tried to build something, it didn't work out for the girl. And all this why, what was he trying to do? He was trying to prove to the girl that he was the best. And after a while, the stepdad came to me and said, Mr. Man, why are you even competing with me? Do you know all I'm trying to do is to even be a better dad? Because your daughter obviously you are even the best dad. And I want to make sure to even meet up with you and you haven't tried to compete with me. That you want to show me that you are the better dad. So you can see that all this while he was trusting himself, I want to be like this man. Hey, this man is a very good dad. I must be like him. Meanwhile, the person he's saying as a good dad, he said, I want to be like this person as a good dad too. So sometimes we just be comparing ourselves unnecessarily. You are okay where you are. God has placed you there. And when he needs to lift you up, he will do that. You don't need to start comparing yourself, this, hallelujah. So comparison steals joy always. And number six, still of our joyful praise is the spirit of heaviness. The spirit of heaviness. Now, the spirit of heaviness is a spirit that steals people's joy. The spirit of heaviness is a spirit that steals people's joy. Now, this happens when we complicate simple issues of life. I know it's very funny that even human beings sometimes we like things that are so complicated. Things that are very simple, we assume that this cannot be real. It's too simple to be real. But when it is hard and complicated, we say, yes, this is the real thing. This one must be the real deal. I know, I was talking to somebody recently and he said that there's one place they used to sell cheap things. That same thing, somebody will carry it, package it, take it somewhere, and maybe quadruple the price and sell it to one big man, and the big man will buy it. And let me tell you, in fact, there are some big men that will not buy something that is cheap. Once it is cheap, they assume that it is fake. So you sell that same thing, nothing changes there. It's the same thing, just increase the price. The way you say, yeah, this must be original because it's expensive, it doesn't mean. So sometimes, as human beings, sometimes we don't like simple things. Sometimes we like complicated things. So the spirit of heaviness, the spirit that what steals people's joy. And this happens when we try to complicate simple issues of life. We are not allowed to allow the spirit of heaviness in us at all. That is, the spirit of heaviness is not meant to dwell in us at all. Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 3. Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 3. Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The garment of praise for the spirit of what? Heaviness. So that as Christians, heaviness should not be found in us. The spirit of heaviness should not be what? Found in us. And that's why the spirit of the Lord came upon him and he said what? That God said that he should what? Give us the what? Garment of what? Praise. To what? Take out every spirit of heaviness. So it means as Christians, the spirit of heaviness is not permitted at all to be found in us. We are not meant to allow the spirit of heaviness to be found in us, because this spirit will only do one thing, and that is to what? Drain out our joy. The spirit will only do one thing, to drain out our joy. And I pray that our joy would not be stolen in Jesus' name. Now, finally, as Christians, we ought to have a thankful heart. Because once we have a thankful heart, we will always see those things that God has done. And we will not see the things he has not done. And you know, Papa used to say, Papa said, he has never seen anything God has not done. That is, all he has seen is what God has done. And you know, once we begin to have that kind of mentality, I always see what God has done. It means, once you see what he has done, you will thank him for what he has done. Once you don't see what he has not done, you won't complain about what he has not done. Because all you are seeing is what God has done. What God has done. So all you'll be saying is, God, I thank you for what this thing that you did. God, I thank you for this. You won't complain that, oh, God, you've not done this. Because you won't even see it. So as Christians, we try as much as possible to have a heart of what? Gratitude. Once we have a heart of gratitude, there won't be any issue of complaining and not complaining. There won't be any issue of such. And I pray that our joy would not be stolen in Jesus' name. A quick round of what we've done. We're looking at the overcoming hindrances to our joyful praise. And we looked at some of those things that could hinder our joy. I would say number one is negative reports. The negative reports are one thing that could steal away our joyful praise. And number two is fear. I would say when we are fearful, we empower the enemies. And the enemies we have is power to be able to steal our joy. And number three is murmuring and complaining. I would say murmuring will bring about destruction and stealing of our joy. And number four is discontentment. Once we are not contented, then our joy will be stolen from us. And number five is comparison. Say comparison always steals joy. And number six is the spirit of heaviness. And number six is the spirit of heaviness. Now, on a final note, the truth of the matter is that joy is different from happiness. And it is only a Christian, not someone that comes to church, a Christian, that's someone that is Christ-like, that has given his life to Christ, that can experience joy. Because joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Happiness is not a fruit of the Spirit. You know, happiness is just on the present situation. You know, I watched a movie recently about disciples of Jesus Christ. I know if you watch that movie, all disciples were just happy. They were just joyful. You know, they were punishing them, they were joyful. I know somebody was commenting on that movie, said that movie really depicted the real joy. Because they were just happy. You know, at the point, people ask, why are you always happy? That joy is just there. You know, so joy is not about the situation. Happiness might be about it, but joy is just there. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit. And you cannot accept the joy if you are not a Christian, if you're not giving your life to what? To Christ. So it means that even if you carry out all the things you have said and you have not signed up with Christ, you're not wasting your time. That joy will not still come. So I want us to just burden our hearts today and just pray to God that in any way we might have missed it, In any way that we might have missed it, that God should reconcile us back to Himself. Let us pray in the name of Jesus.
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.